Well, it's getting to be Christmas time. Time to get ready for Christmas. How many of you already have Christmas decorations up? Anyone? One? I know I've seen a few. Another one over here. I see. Did you guys have them up before Thanksgiving? No? You did? You? All year? It's a holy thing to do. It's Christmas all year long. Just remember the incarnation. Isn't that great? And it's less work. I know in my neighborhood there's a few that have Christmas lights up already. I know for me it seemed like as soon as we finished Thanksgiving dinner, you could turn on the radio and, oh yep, there's the Christmas songs. 24/7 from now on, I guess. Maybe they mix it up every once in a while. Like, tune in at 8 tonight for the song that's not a Christmas song. See you then. But getting ready for Christmas. You know, it can take a lot of work to get ready for Christmas. You want to decorate your house. You want to send out Christmas cards. And, of course, you need to get your Christmas pictures taken before you send out the cards. And you want to see who's going to be coming over. Make sure you have rooms for everyone to stay in. Get maybe, if you don't have rooms yet, you're going to have to put an addition on your house. So that's going to take a while. Get everything ready for Christmas time. You start seeing the Christmas displays up in all the stores. Of course, this was Black Friday. You get the good deals. Small Business Saturday. I don't know if there's anything special about this Sunday that we're supposed to be buying something specific. This Double Tithe Sunday. Double Tithe. Cyber Monday coming up tomorrow. You can get all the shopping done. Because isn't that, that's a big part of Christmas, right? That you have to get the good deals so you can give all the biggest presents. Getting ready for Christmas. You see the bell ringers out there now? We were walking out of a store the other day and there's a person, ding 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 ding. To me it gets annoying. But to Becca, she was caught up by this. Hey, why does he have a bell? I pretend I don't hear it. What bell are you talking about? You know, ding 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 ding. Oh yeah. That bell, yeah. They're doing that because they're trying to raise some money. They're collecting money. They're like, oh yeah, how come we didn't give him money? He's way back there now. I just got you across the parking lot this far. There's no way we're going back now. We'll catch him next time. Maybe. But you start seeing more and more people who are getting ready for Christmas. How are you going to care for people? How are you going to take care of those in need? What are you going to do to celebrate Christmas? We're getting ready for the Christmas season. And as we're getting ready, I thought about all the big things in life that you have to get ready for and how sometimes it's not just a matter of, you know, get ready for this yourself, but it's you're going to need to call a professional for this. I'm sorry, but you cannot prepare for this enough on your own. So for many people, they hire, for instance, a wedding planner. That when it comes to the most important day of your life, up till then, if you're a lady at least, and you know one of the top 10 for a guy, that you want to make sure it's exactly right. And yeah, you could do it yourself. You could say, you know, go to your church and say, hey, can we do a wedding here? And, you know, what if I throw rice? Is that okay? Or I think I read something about birds explode if you throw rice, or maybe that's Alka-Seltzer, I don't know. But what do you do? And, you know, like flowers, can I just choose any old flowers? You could do it yourself. And you could get it done really well. On the other hand, maybe not. And so you could hire a professional, someone who's planned maybe more than zero weddings before they plan yours, who knows some of the tricks of the trade. They know what's going to happen at the wedding and maybe how to get it right, or at least more right than you could on your own. Same thing with catering. If you wanted to, you could, I'm sure any of you could make a meal for 500 people. You just go and you get the biggest boxes of Easy Mac you can. You ask people to bring your microwave, please. We're going to need a few of them. And you just keep popping those things in. 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 2 minutes. Ah, this is going to be a good meal, guys. I hope you like it. 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 2 minutes. You get that done. But maybe you want to hire a caterer. Someone who has made meals for more than just their family in the past, who knows how to keep the food warm and ready to go. Maybe they even know something about safe holding temperatures. Wouldn't that be nice? hiring a professional, someone who can get the job done right. You know, when it comes time to build your house, you don't want just any of the three pigs to do it. You want the one who does it right. Someone who knows what they're going to do. The same thing when we get ready for Christmas. That even God does not let preparing for Christmas just come to anybody. He calls in a professional. And that's what the story today is about. That we're in Luke chapter 1, and we're reading the story of John the Baptist, the birth of John, God's ringer in preparing for his Messiah. We're going to be reading Luke chapter 1. If you turn there, you'll notice that it's a lengthy chapter. And so we're not going to read all of it. In a twist that you maybe did not see coming, we're going to skip all the parts about Jesus. I know, what kind of church is this? We'll be starting in Luke 1. I'll let you know, as we go through the chapter, I'll let you know when we're going to skip ahead. We're going to be starting with verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." You notice he does not call his wife old. Verse 19, the angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Now we're going to skip ahead to verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." We'll skip ahead again to verse 57. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, And they were going to name him after his father Zechariah, but his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately, his mouth was opened, and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word and for this part of the story of your incarnation. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Here we have the story of John and his birth, and from it we see three signs preparing us for Christmas. We see three signs, and the first is the sign of the Father, the sign that comes to Zechariah, this promise of a child to an old man with a wife well along in years. This is a promise that is seen the same way throughout Scripture in several places. You may think immediately of Abraham and Sarah, of the promise that comes to them as they were old and believed they were not able to have children, and the promise comes that a child would be born to them. And although that's the most famous, there are others throughout Scripture. Because we see time and time again this idea of the loved wife unable to have a child, and yet receiving that gift from God and God using that child to work his will. We see it, as I've already said, with Abraham, but then we see it with his son Isaac and Isaac's wife Rebekah. We see it again with Jacob and with Rachel. We see it with the mother of Samson in the book of Judges. We don't know her name, but we know that when she believed she couldn't have a child, an angel appeared and spoke to her and raised up a deliverer through her. Samson, who has parallels to John the Baptist in the vow that he was made to take, that he was going to be set apart in the way he lived. And then we see later on in 1 Samuel that Hannah, Samuel's mother, did not have a child and was very sad by it, thinking she would not be able to have a child until the priest prayed with her and she had Samuel, the leader of Israel. And that pattern continues here with John, that Zechariah, old as he was promised a son. That this couple was blessed in a way that in one sense is a very normal blessing. That's what couples do. They have children. They raise them up. And yet, when they thought hope was gone, they were given that blessing and told not just that a child would come, but that a child would be special, appointed by God for a specific task. Of course, Zechariah asks how he can possibly know this is true, questioning if this is really God's plan, even as he stands in the temple lighting the incense with an angel speaking to him. Well, the angel shut him up pretty quick. Zechariah remained silent until it was fulfilled. It seems like perhaps not only could he not speak, maybe he wasn't able to understand what people were saying, or at least that's how people in his day thought being mute worked, because if you saw in verse 62, they don't just ask him, well, what do you want the son's name to be? Is it John or not John? They start making signs to him, like, okay, how do you do the sign for what do you want to name your kid? Is it something like, I don't know. Like, no, I imagine him like, I can't talk, but I can hear you. Just talk to me. Bring me paper. I know what you're saying. I can hear you right now. His name is John. Okay, good. And being fulfilled, then he begins to praise God. He knows before the child is born of what the purpose of his son will be. And it says this here, verses 15, 16, 17. Verse 16 especially. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. This will be a man sent to the people of God to bring them back, to prepare the way of the Lord among people who know the Lord, people who know that a Messiah is coming, who know the work of God. And today, as we prepare for Christmas, that is our task as well, bringing faith to a faithful people. The sign of the Father is a promise of a child who brings faith back to a faithful people. Because Christmas is a time, first, for us who believe, who know the story of Scripture, who know the work that Christ came to do, reminding ourselves of the work of God in bringing Himself to us. And at Christmas time, we are called to bring faith back to a faithful people, bringing faith to those who know who Jesus is. And that is why we celebrate Christmas here in the church. We lift up this time where we remember the incarnation and the work of Christ, reminding you again of the gift that God has given, reminding you of the faith that you hold. The sign of the Father bringing faith to a faithful people. Then we see the sign of the Spirit. We see the sign of the Spirit in verses 15 and 17, where it says that John will be a child who is filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. And in 17, he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. Later, he is referred to that he is the Elijah that was promised. This doesn't mean that he was a reincarnation of Elijah, but he served in the same way that Elijah served. Elijah was known as the model of the prophets. In fact, at the Transfiguration, Moses stands with Elijah and Jesus. Moses representing the law and Elijah standing for the prophets. Elijah was known as one who served with zeal, who was willing to stand when others would not, who was willing to speak out when it was dangerous to do so. The first person raised from the dead in Scripture comes under Elijah's ministry, returning those to life. And in the same way, John the Baptist now is going to serve in that pattern, that he is going to be a prophet, one who speaks up and points to the Lord. Not only the spirit of Elijah, but the Holy Spirit is on him. And the Spirit comes on his mother as well. In verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, saying, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." That John's connection with the Holy Spirit was such that when Jesus was near, he leaped, even in his mother's womb. Becca has only recently learned what leaping is. She's been able to jump for a while, but she explained to me that leaping is different. She asked me, "Dad, do you want to do some leaps?" Okay, sure. And, you know, I just give it a little jump. It's like, no, that's not leaping. Leaping, you have to run fast and then jump with one foot first. I go, okay, we'll do it. And she shows me. You run fast and then you jump with one foot first. That's leaping. It's full of energy and joy. As Christians, at Christmas time, we are to follow this sign of the Spirit and leap when Christ is near. Knowing that Christ is near to us, and that really that's what the Christmas season is about, God drawing near to us. And it should make us leap with joy. That we should be excited about Christmas time because of what it represents. Because of who it represents. Of who is near to us. The sign of the Spirit. We must leap when Jesus is near. Caught up in the Holy Spirit. Knowing that God is with us. And finally we have the sign of the Son. Zechariah, when his mouth is opened, he begins to prophesy. And part of that is about John and his role. In verse 76 and following, he says, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." The sign of the Son is that we will prepare others for Jesus. We bring faith to a faithful people. We leap when Jesus is near. And importantly, as Christians in this world, as the church, the way that God has decided to get his message out to those who need it, we prepare others for Jesus. Especially in this Christmas season, we have the opportunity, as it says in these verses, to give people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. That secular society has chosen to make the biggest holiday one that is distinctly Christian. And as much as people may want to push that aside and say season's greetings as though it's just about it being winter, because woohoo, it's winter, but really it's about Christmas. Christ with us. And we have the opportunity at Christmas time to bring the knowledge of salvation to those who desperately need it. That at Christmas time, people cannot escape the name of Christ. And that as Christians, as those in the church, we can take things a step farther and work to prepare them to hear that message. To hear the message of salvation through the forgiveness of sins. That when it comes to the Christmas season, it's not just about presents. It's not about getting a good deal or giving the biggest gifts. But it's about salvation that comes through a little child. A child who is willing, though he was God, to take on the form of man, to live a sinless life, to face death on our behalf. And dying and rising again that we may be joined with him in life forever. That through the forgiveness of our sins, we can have life as well. It says, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. And then 78, because of the tender mercy of our God. Too often, people look at the God that we worship and see someone who is willing to punish, to threaten, and to harm. And they skip over the incredible acts of mercy that God has done, taking on himself the penalties that we deserve and dying on our behalf that we may live. As we come to Christmas time, our task is to prepare others to see Jesus, that they should see us leaping for joy when Christ is near. That we are excited to join together with other believers, knowing that where two or three are gathered in his name, he is with us. That they should see us reminding one another of our faithfulness. of the work of God and of Christ. And they should see us caring for them. Even if they do not agree with us, they should see that we care for them desperately. That we want to pour out on them the love that we have received. That we truly believe this is the way to life and are willing to share it. This is why we do that 5-second prayer each Sunday. And hopefully it's a part of your routine, that you take time to pray that God would touch the hearts of those who need the gospel message. That He would use those prayers, that His Spirit would work to prepare their hearts, that He would prepare our hearts as well to speak the message, especially at this Christmas season, that we would take the chance to invite people to a little bit of a different Christmas service, something a little bit different than they get on a normal Sunday morning. Say, hey, you know, my church is doing a little kids program. If you want to see like what the kids at our church get to do and a fun thing that they participate in, and you can see my kid in it, why don't you come on out? Hear that message. We work to prepare them. Because ultimately, there is coming a day when they will meet Jesus. When they will give an answer. We want to prepare them now. Let them meet Jesus here. Be transformed by Him today before they meet Him for eternity. As we are preparing for Christmas, prepare your hearts. Spur one another to faith, to love, to good deeds. Leap and rejoice at the nearness of Christ during this holiday season and prepare the hearts of others to see Jesus. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love and Your mercy, for the ways that You bring us salvation, through the sacrifice of Your Son, through the gift of Your Spirit. Lord, we thank You for this season when we can reflect on the gifts we have received. Use us, we pray, to prepare the hearts of those who do not yet know You. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, may the Lord be with you. As you go through this season, may you leap with joy at the nearness of Christ. You are dismissed.